BlogTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, I just... So welcome to season premiere of Monday Night Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, my name is MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, that's Lindsay Ward, and this is the new theme song for Monday Night Raw.
Okay, so I want to, like, talk about, since we're at the top of the show, I want to talk about the new look, the new feel, the new graphics, the new everything, because
Wait, before you do that, if you're watching the live stream on Twitch, we have pyro like Raw does. It's pyro. We have pyro on the screen. Pyro.
We have pyro?
I have pyro on the screen.
Is very expensive, y'all. You should totally sub using Twitch Prime, because, you know, that kind of pyro, that's expensive.
You don't get that kind of pyro anywhere. But here,
except
on Twitch, here. On twitch.tv/WTRLive. Pyro, you see? Pyro.
Anyway, speaking of pyro, that it made its return to Monday Night Raw, we also saw a brand new logo for Raw. We saw a new stage, which is wicked cool looking.
The half pipe,
where it's like one gigantic video screen, essentially, or LED screen, and it's curved, and the talent walk out on it, and they walk down with it. Everything lights up. Everything can have graphics. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's cool. We've got a new theme song. And, well...
Yeah, it kind of does. With the pyro, does look like Bray has boobs. Let me move the pyro a little bit. Anyway,
wait, Bray has boobs?
The two pieces of pyro were next to each other, right on the chest area. So it's, there's a little hole in the middle. Anyway, just...
Bray was spewing pyro out of his nipples.
I'm going to just move the pyro up a little bit. Anyway, continue.
Apparently Bray Wyatt can shoot pyro out of his nipples. Who knew? Moving on, we've also got a new brand new opening package for Monday Night Raw. Like, they have completely, totally retooled the show. In terms of the look, in terms of the feel, we got new match graphics, which I really, really like. Like, I like everything in the way that they are presenting this show.
New voices.
New voices. We have our brand new announced team in Jerry the King Lawler,
Dio Madden,
Dick Joseph,
and Dio Madden, yeah.
And Dio Madden and everybody. For the announcers, they were probably the shakiest of all the changes.
Dio
was,
for sure.
Dio was for sure because he's never done anything like this before, so he was nervous. Vic Joseph was nervous because Vic Joseph, he's done stuff like this, but never on like this level, I feel like. So he was kind of like, oh, holy crap. And then there's Jerry Lawler who's trying to get him through it. And they did a great job. Okay, I'm not saying that they were bad or anything like that. It's just you could tell that like 2/3 of that announce team were nervous as hell. Because it's like, holy crap, it's Monday Night Raw, it's the debut on, or it's the season premiere on USA, it's this, it's that. Like, there's a lot riding on this night. And so, you know, they're now taking over for Michael Cole, for Corey Graves, and for Renee Young, who have been the voices of Raw for a couple of years now. Now it's their ship, they're leading the way. So there's a lot of pressure with that, but they did a great job. Like, overall, in terms of the sounds and the looks and the feel, it was great. I really like it.
Oh, before you continue, Jerry Lawler had his moments of old Jerry Lawler stuff, but he was the veteran voice that stabilized the show, whether you liked it or not. I was fine with it, but he stabilized the show. I was just commenting from chat. Anyway, continue.
Jerry Lawler is not going to be a permanent fixture. He's there to sort of handhold Vic and Dio until they get comfortable enough with the show that they feel like they can do it on their own, and then they'll probably have Jerry fade into the background. But if you had thrown Vic and Dio out there on their own, I don't know if they would have been as successful. Like, you need that veteran voice sort of leading the charge, as it were.
Because when something goes wrong, you need a veteran voice to sort of stabilize the show.
Yeah, to step in and help tell that story. And Jerry Lawler can do that. Jerry Lawler has the level of experience needed. Not to say Vic Joseph doesn't. But he understands what he needs to do, where Vic Joseph may not quite be able to handle it. It's just somebody there to help guide them through it. That's all. Especially on a night like tonight, you want to make sure everything goes according to plan.
Okay. So that's the basic, you know, setup of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Let's talk about the opening of the show, right? After all the big pop and circumstance of all the pyro and ballyhoo, Rey Mysterio is out to talk about his Universal title match, and then bam, Brock Lesnar shows up and destroys a family.
Yeah, so Brock Lesnar took out Rey Mysterio and Dominic.
He destroyed the kid. What? Everyone remembers Dominic, the little kid who was on, they had his thing for a pole or whatever, or ladder match, whatever. Brock destroyed Dominic, and he didn't have any remorse for doing so because it's Brock Lesnar, and he looked like a freaking beast tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
And that's the point. They made him look like the beast incarnate Brock Lesnar again because he has a big title match this Friday on the season premiere of SmackDown on Fox. So you had to make him look strong. I mean, it's like, oh my God, Brock has to look strong. Yes, Brock has to look strong because he's Brock freaking Lesnar and he's in a title match on Friday night. Because Brock's going to be around for a while, whether you like it or not. I know everyone has the issues with him. He's going to be around for a while.
I just have to say my only problem with this, actually a couple, was the fact that you had Rey Mysterio get beat up just as bad as Dominic, and yet Rey was fine. But he took the, as Rock explained, the wrestler beating, and so he's okay, whereas Dominic's a 21-year-old kid who can't take wrestler beatings, this is in quotations.
Also, we had a face revealed in Raw, apparently.
Yeah, and that was my other issue with it. So, like, I don't know if it was intentional, I don't know, I don't quite know, but when they're loading Dominic into the ambulance, you have Rey get in there and he's playing the concerned father and he's desperately upset, and Rey played this up to a T. Like, it was perfect. Like, Rey's entire reaction to this was spectacular, because like, when Brock's beating them down, like, Rey Mysterio actually climbed on top of his son to protect his son. Like, mm-hmm. He's trying to be the good father and protect his child from this horrible man that has beaten them up. Like, it was wonderful. Like, all of that was wonderful, and Dominic was great. He looked afraid. He took the beating well, although Brock almost dropped him.
Yeah,
there
was one point on the outside he picked him up. I think he was going to try to F5 him into the ring post.
Didn't quite work.
It didn't quite work, yeah.
But Dominic sold everything really well. But anyway, so they get in the ambulance, and Ray's all concerned, and he's distraught. And you have the camera peering in the ambulance because they close the doors and you just see through the windows. And the windows are a little foggy because it's like the treated glass or whatever. And so you see Ray reach up and he takes his mask off. And for like a good probably 5 to 10 seconds, there's Rey Mysterio fully unmasked.
This is a real life moment.
This is a real life moment. Like, Rey takes off the mask. He's not Rey Mysterio anymore. He's Dominic's dad. And he's concerned and he's distraught and he's upset and he's all these things and he's, you know, he's selling it. But it's just like, I just didn't know what to do with the fact that it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Rey Mysterio's face that we've been like protected from for years and years and years and years and years. Boom, there it is right there. Like, I wasn't sure how to feel about that, but the moment and the way that they sold the moment was great.
It's been 20 years since we've seen his face on television.
And boom, there it is.
There it is. So Rey Mysterio is out of the Universal title match. Seth Rollins still plans on defending his title tonight on Monday Night Raw, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Couple things that happened throughout the show. Rude and Ziggler defeated Heavy Machinery to retain the tag team titles. I enjoyed this matchup. It was a solid win for Rude and Ziggler. They kind of needed it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They really did.
But as mentioned many, many times on the rack and here, Otis is a stamp. Oh. He's a star.
I love Otis. I love Otis so much.
So there was that. Sasha Banks beat Alexa Bliss. Solid little matchup. Becky was out there. She was business Becky for a moment, and then, well, things took a turn. Becky and Alexa had Becky and Sasha had a little brawl that Sasha bailed through the crowd, and then after match, Becky was like, "She wouldn't be leaving the Hell in a Cell structure until she's done with her." And she made it personal. Now she's going to make it painful in the cell because retribution is coming around on Sunday.
Okay, so a couple things. Becky got her steam back.
She did. Alexa had pyro, too.
Alexa had pyro, which we missed the reaction to that, but Becky got her steam back. Alexa had pyro. Becky was all business up until she and Sasha started yelling at each other from about 100 feet or whatever it was away from each other. And my favorite thing about all of that is Becky is standing on top of the announce table yelling at Sasha, and at one point she gets down and out of nowhere, athletic tape appears.
Well, it's just sitting on the table.
And Becky starts taping her wrists and her hands to go fight Sasha. Sasha and Alexa finish the match. And Becky's like, okay, all right, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to beat her up. I'm just we're just going to do this. And that's exactly what happened. Like, and Sasha gets away. But I just love that. That was great.
Okay, chat, what is about the finish? So it was a distraction, a fake distraction finish because Sasha said, hey, Bailey. And then she kicked her in her bad leg, which has been an injured point for the last couple weeks through the storytelling, through the matches they've been having. So it was like a callback to that. So it was the injured leg, and that's what happened on that one, just to clarify some things.
Match itself wasn't as important as the Becky Sasha stuff, obviously. So
Sasha later on had a retort, a very nice retort as well. Viking Raiders defeated the OC. Good matchup there.
Go Viking Raiders! Woo!
In a quick match, Ricochet defeated Cesaro. Cesaro was proud of what happened to Ray. He liked it. He enjoyed it.
Sorry, you sick bastard. I don't know if I like Cesaro's pants. I'm very mixed on the whole capri look. I'm not sure if it's a good look.
He's trying something.
He's trying a thing, and I appreciate that he's trying a thing, but I'm not sure if I'm crazy about it.
AJ Styles successfully retained his United States title over Cedric Alexander again.
In a really good, really, really good match.
Lacey Evans beat Natty.
Fine. Not quite sure what Lacey was wearing to the ring. Was it a tutu?
It was a thing.
It was there.
Paul Heyman talked about what happened to Rey Mysterio. He said the real blame line is with Vince McMahon for booking him for the season premiere when he knew that Brock Lesnar would be in a fight mood because he's challenged for the WWE Championship on Friday Night SmackDown. Heyman said to Kofi Kingston, can thank God every night for the power of positivity, but the devil thanks him because of the victims that Lesnar lines up. Heyman said, it's not a spoiler. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler that Brock Lesnar will become the new WWE Champion on SmackDown.
Good little promo by Heyman.
WWE is not going to TV-14. They're staying PG. But they're going to take PG to its limit.
Yeah, and we can talk about that.
We're getting to it. Because there's a setup that needs to be done before that. But first, The Firefly Funhouse.
F's in chat, y'all. We've lost someone.
The rabbit has died.
Again.
He was scared to death. And Bray went, oh well.
Yeah, Bray's all concerned for about 5 seconds, and he's like, he's with us, he's no longer with us. Oh, well, and then he tosses the rabbit aside. But yeah, it opens with all the puppets making, like, these weird noises. So yeah. They're all frightened.
They were all frightened because they were worried about the horror the fiend would cause on Seth Rollins' on Sunday. Wyatt told him it's going to be okay. It's okay to be scared. He's scared, too, because there's nothing like Hell in a Cell.
And then Huskus the pig, who had a cake, by the way, asked what Hell in a Cell is like, and Bray was like, it's a day without chocolate.
No, it's a world without chocolate.
It's a world without chocolate.
Only worse.
And Huskus was horrified. Mm-hmm.
Why is it the Hell in a Cell structure is a horrible place that you can't enter, but you could never truly leave? Why is it Rollins will be trapped in there with him? Then the buzzard was like, what happens to Rollins? Wyatt said he will always protect this place. Wyatt said he will come back, but he doesn't think Rollins will be so fortunate. But Bray Wyatt had an idea. That was a little idea icon on the screen. I'm gonna go find him to tell him to be nice to Seth Rollins. He ran away and came back, just kidding, and said, see you in hell. Bye!
So this was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Just because Bray said he will always protect this place. So he will always protect the Firefly Funhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit more about what it is for Bray. Is it a place that he's protecting in his mind? Is it a place that he's protecting physically? Like, what is it?
We'll see.
But it's just kind of interesting how he said, well, I'll always protect it.
Now let's talk about the highly anticipated Miz TV with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, and Hulk Hogan with Jimmy Hart. What?
I don't even know what this was. Okay. I was so confused by this. Like, what the actual hell was this?
First off, Flair's tired of Real American. He's like, I have had to listen to this for 30 years and I'm tired of it. And you can tell he's like, he's all mad and they're trying to build up to something. But Hogan's like, we've had to listen to you go, woo, for 30 years. And they were trying to, like, outshine each other. Hogan says, great to be the greatest of all time. And then Hogan may be the biggest draw of all time, but no one touches him in the ring. Ric Flair, that is. Flair says he has no equals in the ring, and that includes Hulk Hogan. Hogan says, you know, you want another run, brother? You want another go at the 24-inch pythons? And Flair's like, yeah, let's do it. He takes off his jacket. And if they want to, he goes one more time, and the crowd pops. Legitimately pops. For all of this, they're on their feet. They're chanting, "One more match, one more match." And I know,
y'all, do not encourage them.
I know we always get the whole one more match thing. Everyone, like, whenever a legend comes back, and they pop for it. But God, this one was loud. Legitimately, the loudest one more match pop I've heard in ages.
And the stupid thing is, Flair and Hogan would do it.
Flair and Hogan would do it in a minute. They would never get cleared medically, but they would do it in a back alley in front of 5 people if they could, brother. Because if the payday was great.
I mean, seriously, like, you know, everybody chants it at the Legends because it's the nice thing to do, right? It's the nice thing to chant at the Legend, you know, one more match. Because, you know, it's like, that's what you do to Legends. Because they're always going to do the, nah, I'm not going to do it type thing. No. Flair and Hogan, no. Do not give them that encouragement. They don't need that in their life. Because you know what? Ric Flair would do it. It's not even Hogan. It's Flair.
It's Flair. Flair
does not need that.
And we know Flair will do anything for a buck. He wants more all the zeros Hogan has on his paycheck, brother. Which is why it's been announced at Crown Jewel on Halloween in Saudi Arabia. It will be Team Hogan versus Team Flair. And Hulk Hogan goes, well, I have a captain in mind, and it's Seth freaking Rollins, who comes down the ring, and he was so happy. He does the Hogan stuff, and, you know, what you gonna do, brothers, when Seth Rollins burns it down. And then Ric Flair picks up the microphone and goes, all right, my turn now. Cool. Let me introduce. I hear voices in my head. They just cut Ric Flair off.
Yeah. Yeah, they were trying to, like, not let Ric Flair talk as much as possible.
Because he was going off already, and it's like, okay, whatever. So, Randy Orton is the captain for Flair's team. Orton told Rollins he needs to get his head out of Hogan's ass. Where it said he was would pick their respective teammates over the next few weeks, and since it's a pyramid Raw, they would do a captain's match. Rollins versus Orton. So they're about to fight, and then, well, out came Baron Corbin. So it was a 2-on-1 beatdown on Rollins until Rusev, of all people, made the save. And then they cleared the ring. Then Rollins and Rusev did the Hogan pose, because real American, brother. Okay. Some would probably hate this. I know a lot of people probably hate it, but God, it was funny.
Okay, just a couple things. I need Baron Corbin to work on his model walk. Like, if you're going to do that kind of look, you know, you need to own it. You need to own it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if somebody could, like, help him out with that, that would be great, too. I had no idea what the hell was going on half the time in this. Like, this was just a kind of a cluster, but an entertaining cluster, so it's okay. But you're just kind of like, I guess the point is to stop Ric Flair from getting hold of a mic and talking, because that's what this felt like half the time, was, like, Ric Flair, because they kept cutting Ric Flair off. Like, there's a point where you can tell that, like, when Rick's getting ready to introduce Randy, that it's almost like you can just hear the backstage conversation, Randy, go! But he's not done! Go! Just go! Go! Hit the music! He's going! Like, you could just almost hear the conversation. So, like, I don't know if they intentionally meant it like that, or if they produced it like that, or what the whole deal was, but it was entertaining.
The man's good. Why are they plugging Crown Jewel ahead of Hell in a Cell? Because they gotta get the promotion out for everything, and it's just a weird month, and you should focus on one event at a time. But guess what? It's premiere week, and you're focusing on 17 different events because reasons. So that's what they did.
That, and you have the most amount of eyeballs that you're going to have on your product right now, and it makes sense that for Crown Jewel that you're going to go ahead and start promoting it because it's at the tail end of October. So, because Hell in a Cell's this week, and they did the setup for the Raw matches for Hell in a Cell tonight, it makes sense that they're going to go ahead and start promoting it for the end of the month. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the same thing doesn't happen on SmackDown.
I would think less on SmackDown just because there's so much going on.
Probably.
Anyway, so, Seth Rollins still needs an opponent for tonight. Rusev steps up to the plate. He's going to be the one to challenge Seth Rollins in the main event. So it's Seth Rollins and Rusev for the Universal title in the main event. Rusev was asked about Lana earlier. He had no comment about what's going on. Maria was asked about Rusev, and he's not the father, and he has enough going on with Lana. Hints, hints, winks, winks. And then a limo showed up. So these two are having a match, and then Lashley's music hits. And he walks out, and he's waiting and motioning for someone to finally come out, so someone was late on their cues. And then Lana walks onto the stage. They hug, then they make out. Rusev is like, what?
Okay, no, what they did was not making out. Like, I'm pretty sure Bobby Lashley got to first base on national television in front of Rusev. I'm fairly sure that's what happened. I think it's actually borderline second base. I'm not 100% sure because they kept cutting away, but, like, there was some serious tongue action going on there. Like,
Matt thinks
Lana and Bobby went for it, man.
Matt thinks he hit a double.
I'm kind of with Matt. I mean, there was one point where he's, like, got her turned away slightly, and her leg is, like, wrapped around him up above his butt. Like, she was, like, and she's in a skirt, y'all. Like, a mini skirt at that. Like, it's full on, she's ready to go moment. And I'm pretty sure he was, too. It's like, guys, this is a PG product. There's kids in the audience. You can't, guys. Like, I mean, that's what it was seriously like. You're sitting there and you're going, how long is this going to go? And Rusev's just standing there watching the whole thing bitterly.
And then the Fiend showed up and put the mandible claw on Seth Rollins.
And then randomly, out of nowhere, Bray Wyatt shows up and kills Seth Rollins. Like, this was the most awkward ending to Raw I've seen in a long time. Just because one thing did not correlate to the other thing. I understand it's Bobby Lashley, and I appreciate that they wanted to save him for the end, and they wanted to do the whole big reveal with Rusev and Lana and everything like that, but I feel like that could have been handled earlier in the episode.
Okay, one other thing. Why was Lashley in his gear? Shouldn't he have been in his limo in his gear? I mean,
they banged in the limo.
Yes. Also, Aiden English on Instagram raises hand emoji. I told you so. And then on Twitter, he tweets, what was it? Hashtag Aiden did nothing wrong.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It's
Bray Wyatt was good. I mean, in general, the whole show was really good, okay? Like, the show itself was entertaining. It was fun. There was just a couple of moments where you just kind of sat there and you scratched your head a little bit and you're like, What? And I think they'll get there. It's just an awkward week.
Welcome to Paul Heyman's Monday Night Raw. It's going to be weird. It's going, okay, whether you like it or not.
It's different.
It's different and entertaining. That's the thing. It's giving you good wrestling. It's advancing storylines. And it's not boring. You can say what you saw tonight was not boring. What liking it and not liking it are two different things. But it wasn't boring. It was entertaining. And we've been missing it. We can go back. If y'all hated this show, let's go back to June. Do we want to go back to June's Monday Night Raws?
No.
Where we get these random 2 out of 3 falls matches where you can't wrestle during the commercial break? Do we want to go back to that?
I mean, I would say this. I would give it another week or two. And here's why. Like I said, this is a weird week. This was the intro episode or the season debut or whatever for USA of the brand new Monday Night Raw. So this was, they're throwing everything at you at once. Give it a week or two to sort of regulate out for the stars that you're going to see on a more regular basis and see how they pace out the show. I will say that the way that they did this, the way that they booked this, the amount of people that they got on the show was all really great. It kept moving. There wasn't a lot of drag on this show, especially in the second and third hour, particularly in the third hour. Like, normally, once you hit that, once you get to number three, it's like, you're just like, is it over yet? Is it done yet? And you didn't really feel like that tonight, which was nice. And I liked that. So give it, if you didn't like it, I completely appreciate that. There were a couple things that I wasn't a fan of, but it is what it is. But I would give it a chance. I would just give it a couple more weeks and see how it goes. And if you still don't like it, okay, fine.
There are other,
but I wouldn't judge it off tonight.
I judge it off tonight by, on the basis of, they're throwing things at the wall. They're trying things. They're making things interesting. Whether it's good or bad, that's up for discussion. But they're trying things and they're trying to get your attention. God knows, with everything going on this week and every week going forward, there's a lot going on. You're going to have to get someone's attention somehow.
Yep.
But you can't judge who's on this show for 2 more weeks, because in 2 weeks on Monday Night Raw with Draft, a lot is up in the air. But I enjoyed the show. This was entertaining as hell. We'll talk about the Hell in a Cell, whatever it is, Thursday on the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXTs. We won't be talking SmackDown anymore because SmackDown is now on Friday. So fare thee well to the SmackDown Throwdown.
For now.
For now. But we're still doing all your other favorites and Hell in a Cell. It's Thursday nights. Tim P. Meester right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
The Rack Extra Reviews returns tomorrow with the Rack Extra Reviews 35 Years of WrestleMania book. It's available now at Amazon.com. The podcast review will be available tomorrow afternoon, Saturday night, midnight-ish. CB Radio, CRayLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Poets, which means we're getting a CB Radio poem. Tune in for the CB Radio poem and more Saturday night, midnight-ish. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio will return to review Hell in a Cell. We'll be back next Wednesday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Now, Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, there will be Fortnite with friends throughout the week. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you have Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. You can also donate and do all that other stuff. You can also use creator code ROCKTOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD.
So for Lindsay, I'm Rock. This has been the Raw Post Show live right here in the Raw Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by MBG Film, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show live across the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rise. Some people want to turn it. Rise on down the gun. Talk to the
ain't never gonna stop. To the top, to the top.
WildTalkRadio.com.